Good morning, everybody. Before we get into our message today, I have a few things that I would like to announce. Two of them have already been announced. We have two of our youth that would love to go to camp, but I'm not able to afford it. So I'm putting it out to you if you would like to help out in that area. These are two people who are very devoted to our youth group, and I would hate to see them not be able to go just because of finances. So if you can help, go see Aaron and let him know. As far as the chili cook-off for the Becks are trying to get back home. They are, actually, they were in Sudan. They got run out of there because of the civil war, the war that's going on. They were chased to another part of Africa. Basically, they had to flee with basically whatever they could pick up. They're trying to come back home for a furlough in May, and it's $6,000 for round-trip tickets for their family of four. So I think there's four, isn't there? Yeah, there's four. I didn't know if they had another one or not. But and so this cook-off is trying to raise funds to help them come back to get a little bit of rest here in the States. Get prayed up, what I'd like to do is, if you could, is next week's offering or the week after that leading up to it, if you'd like to designate just some money, because, you know, if they're charging $5, that's a lot of chili that they're going to have to sell. So if God lays it on your heart to just go ahead and give and just write it on the envelope, missionaries or Becks, we'll make sure that that money gets to them. I would really like to be a huge blessing to them. They are one of the missionaries that we do support here at New Hope Christian Center. And so if God leads you to do such a thing, that would be great. And finally, there's someone in this church that recently had a birthday. And I usually don't do birthdays because if I do one person's birthday, I have to do everybody's birthday, and somebody's going to get mad. He didn't mention my birthday. But this is a special birthday. It was Dorothy's 97th birthday. And if you don't know Dorothy, you're missing out. She's an incredible prayer warrior, and anytime you need prayer, you can bet she's praying for you. And even when you don't need it, she's still praying for you. And I understand, Dorothy, that you just passed your driving test. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't know. I've seen some little old ladies out there driving that should not be driving. But, Dorothy, I trust you. Because I know that your car is covered in prayer and angels. So, all right, we're going to get going on our message today. Happy birthday, Miss Dorothy. Would anybody like to lead us in a little happy birthday song to Dorothy? We can sing it, and we don't care about copyright laws. So, Angela.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, dear Dorothy. Happy birthday to you.
All right, so if any of you want me to announce your birthday when you turn 97, just come up. Just no, not until you're 97. All right, we are continuing our messages on Proverbs, or in Proverbs. And the Hebrew word for Proverbs is mashal, and it means sentences of ethical wisdom. Proverbs 1, verses 1 and 2 says the Proverbs of Solomon, king of David, or son of David, king of Israel, they are for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior and doing what is right and just and fair. And so we are in chapter 6, going through verses 16 to 19. And it says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Now, since we've already talked about the lying tongue, the part that says a false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community is what we're going to focus on today. And as I started to go through this, I started thinking about what is it that we have studied? What does it talk about usually in the Bible that says we are not to do as far as our tongues? We're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to deceive. We're not supposed to slander. We're not supposed to gossip. And as I was studying this, I came across a study that some of you may have heard of, but I doubt. And we're going to take a look at what that is. But it is talk that is detrimental even when it is true. Because oftentimes we'll say something or we'll share some information and we feel that it's okay to do because it's true. But there are some verses in the Bible that talk about this. And we're going to start in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And it says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. Now, this is kind of this is God's stern voice. You know, you ever get in trouble and your dad says, you three, come here. That's the tone that he is using. So the three of them went out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. And when the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. So I want to go back to the very first verse, and it says that Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses. Why were they talking against Moses? Because he took a Cushite wife. God says, do not marry anybody outside of the tribes of Israel. Yet Moses took for himself a wife from Cush. So what they were speaking against was actually true. They had kind of had a right to say, you know what? No, this is not right. You are not to take a spouse from another nation. And so when they began to speak against him, the things that they were saying were true. And God got very angry. And I began to think, how many times do I share information about other people? It's true. But what does God think about that? Because we always talk about don't slander, don't gossip, don't lie, don't deceive. Don't bear false witness, all of those things. But do we ever stop and think about the talk that I'm using, even though the circumstances are true, what kind of a damage that can do as well. And so what I'm talking about today is a Hebrew term, and it's Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. And in Hebrew, it simply means evil tongue. It is the term for derogatory speech about another person. It differs from defamation in that its focus is on the use of true speech for a wrongful purpose. It's different than defamation. Speech is considered to be lashon hara if it says something negative about a person or a party. It is not seriously intended to correct or improve a negative situation, and it is true. So there is speech that we can use that is intended to fix a problem. But if there's no intent to fix anything, you're just simply passing on information, and that information is true and could be damaging to the other person, it is considered lashon hara. Statements that fit in this description are considered to be lashon hara, regardless of the method of communication that is used, whether it is through face-to-face conversation, a letter, a telephone, text, email, or even body language. So I'm going to read to you a parable from Hebrew tradition, Jewish traditions. It comes from the Midrash or the Talmud. But it describes what Lashon Hara is and how devastating it can be. So bear with me. In a small town somewhere in Eastern Europe lived a nice man with a nasty problem. He talked too much about other people. He could not help himself. Whenever he heard a story about somebody he knew, and sometimes about somebody he did not know, he just had to tell it to his friends. Since he was in business, he heard quite a lot of rumors and stories. He loved the attention he got and was delighted when they laughed because of the way he told his anecdotes, which he sometimes embellished with little details he invented to make them funnier and juicier. Other than that, he was a really pleasant, good-hearted man. He kind of knew it was wrong, but it was too tempting. And in any case, most of what he told had really happened, didn't it? Many of his stories were just innocent and entertaining, weren't they? One day he found out something really weird but true about another businessman in town. Of course, he felt compelled to share what he knew with his colleagues, who told it to their friends, who told it to the people they knew, who told it to their wives, and who spoke with their friends and their neighbors. It went around town until the unhappy businessman who was with the main character in the story heard of it. He ran to the rabbi in the town and wailed and complained that he was ruined. Nobody would like to deal with him after this. His good name and his reputation were gone with the wind. Now this rabbi knew his customers, and he decided to summon the man who loved to tell the stories. If he was not the one who started them, he might at least know who did. So when the nice man with the nasty problem heard from the rabbi how devastated his colleague was, he felt truly sorry. He honestly had not considered it such a big deal to tell this story because it was true. The rabbi could check it out if he wanted to, and the rabbi sighed. True, not true, that really makes no difference. You cannot just tell stories about people. This is all lashon hara, slander, and it's like murder. You kill a person's reputation. He said a lot more, and the man who started the rumor now felt really bad and sorry. What can I do to fix this? He sobbed. I will do anything you say. The rabbi looked at him and says, do you have any feather pillows in your house? Rabbi, I am not poor. I have a whole bunch of them. But what do you want me to do? Do you want me to sell them? He said, no, just bring me one. The man was mystified, but he returned a bit later to the rabbi's study with a nice fluffy pillow under his arm. The rabbi opened the window and handed him a knife. Cut it open. But rabbi, here in your study, it will make a mess. Do as I say. And the man cut the pillow. A cloud of feathers came out, and they landed on the chairs and on the bookcase and on the clock and on the cat, which jumped after them. They floated all over the table and into the the teacups, on the rabbi and on the man with the knife, and a lot of them flew out of the window in a big swirling, whirling trail. The rabbi waited 10 minutes. Then he ordered the man, "Now bring me back all the feathers and stuff them back in your pillow. All of them, mind you, not one may be missing." The man stared at the rabbi in disbelief. "That is impossible, rabbi. The ones here in the room, I might get most of them, but the ones that flew out the window are gone. Rabbi, I can't do that, and you know it." "Yes," said the rabbi, and nodded gravely. "That is how it is. Once a rumor, a gossipy story, a secret leaves your mouth, you do not know where it ends up. It flies on the wings of the wind, and you can never get it back." He ordered the man to deeply apologize to the person about whom he had spread the rumor. And that is difficult and painful, but it was the least he could do. He ordered him to apologize to the people to whom he had told the story, making them accomplices in the nasty Lashon Hara game. And he ordered him to diligently study the laws concerning Lashon Hara every day for a year and then come back to him. And that is what the man did. And not only did he study about Lashon Hara, he talked about the importance of guarding your tongue to all his friends and colleagues. And in the end, he became a nice man who overcame a nasty problem. I don't know about you, but I've shared a lot of stories about people. True. True stories. But what is the motive and intent in my heart when I share those stories? See, we like to give ourselves a pass. Well, it's true. It's absolutely true, so I can share this juicy little tidbit. The laws of Lashon Hara are too lengthy. In the parable, he says, "I want you to go and I want you to study the laws of Lashon Hara for a year, and then come back to me, and we'll talk about it." So Rabbi Israel Meir Hahoken of Radin wrote a book, and he called it Chafetz Chaim. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of go through some of the laws that they came up with in Lashon Hara and see if we're kind of maybe not guilty about the same, because it means derogatory speech. Now, he took the book title Chafetz Chaim. My Jewish or my Hebrew is not very good. He took it from Psalm 34, verses 11 through 14. And this is where he got the title. And this says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And this is out of the New King James Version. "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good?" So he's saying, who really amongst you really wants to desire life, to have the fear of the Lord? And he goes on to say, "Keep your tongue from evil." The very first thing out of his mouth, if you want to live an abundant life, do you want to live a blessed life? The first thing out of his mouth, is, keep your tongue from evil. And the minute I think of that, I think lying, deceiving, omission, leaving things out, putting some juicy things in. But he says, if you want to live that abundant life, if you want to have fear of the Lord, watch your mouth. Watch what you say. There's a scripture in the Bible that says it is full of venomous poison. Our tongue is full of venomous poison, like a snake. But then I always think, well, that's talking about lying. No, it's talking about whenever we slander someone else, whether it's true or not. And I don't know about you, I know some people who are very good at letting you know that they know everything about everybody else. They're the people that have to know. "What are you talking about? How come you didn't tell me that?" I know a lot of people that That's what they do. They gossip. Constantly. And one of the laws here says, even if you just listen to someone else who is committing Lashon Hara, you're just as guilty as they are. I am guilty of this. As I was studying this, I became more and more convicted in my own heart. Because I like to laugh. If you know me, I like to laugh. And I like to laugh at the expense of other people. And I like to laugh at my own expense. But it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. So who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. What he says right there, the first two things, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. It is amazing how detrimental our speech can be. I talked about a change of perspective last week. Reading this changed my perspective on the things that I say. It has actually engaged a filter in my mind where I have to think about, am I committing Lashon Hara if I let this out of my mouth? It has changed my, because our culture breeds Lashon Hara. Does it not? Social media might as well just call it Lashon Hara. You can go on YouTube and watch compilation fails. They're hilarious. But it's people doing stupid things that are now posted so that I can sit and watch them do stupid things and laugh at them. But is that not Lashon Hara? The words or the term desires life in the Hebrew is chafetz chaya. And it means to desire to live, to have life, to remain alive, to sustain life, to live prosperously, to live forever, to be restored to life or health. So this could actually read, I will teach you to fear the Lord. Who is the man who has a desire to live, to have life, to remain alive, to sustain life, to live prosperously, to live forever and be restored to life or health? Who doesn't want that? I do. I want to have that life abundant that Jesus promised. I came so that you may have life and have it more abundantly, are his words. And so he says, "What man desires life? Me. I desire those things. I want to be whatever it is that God has called me to be." And the first thing out of the gate is then watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. Watch what you say. What is your motivation in your heart for speaking whatever it is that you're going to speak? And let me ask you this. And we would change a lot of things that we say about other people if we only repeated things that we would repeat to them. Have you ever been caught? You said something about somebody, and somebody else went and told somebody else, and then somebody else went and told somebody else, and then it gets back to that person that you talked about initially, and they come back to you and say, I heard what you said. I've done it. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You feel like that tall? Wouldn't it be better if we engaged that filter before? Let me step back and think, would I say this in front of that person that I am talking about? Now, I have met some people who are just cantankerous and don't give a rip what other people think, and they'd say it in front of anybody, they don't care. But there's nobody like that here. So that is Chafetz Chaya, desire to live like God wants us to live. So I wrote down some of the laws from the Chafetz Chaim, and we're going to go through, there's seven of them that I wrote down. Lashon Hara literally means bad talk. And this means that it is forbidden to speak negatively about someone else, even if it is true. First and foremost, that's their number one law. The second one, it is also forbidden to repeat anything about another, even if it is not a negative thing. And I like these because it made me think. These are not written in the scriptures word for word, but I believe that these are principles that are godly, that we can live by, and our lives are going to be a lot better because of it. If we live by these principles, we will remove ourselves from some very difficult situations later on. Amen? So it is also forbidden to repeat anything about another, even if it is not a negative thing. Once again, you look at the heart. What's the heart? What's the motive? What's the inspiration? What are you up to? What are you trying to get out of this? Because there's something. If you are a gossip, there's something that you get from it that you crave. If you're a gossip, it's just like eating a good old steak. Oh boy, I got some new information on, did you hear da-da-da-da-da, text. Or you'll put it on Facebook because you've blocked that person. But we're not even supposed to repeat things about other people. Number three, it is also forbidden to listen to Lashon Hara. One should either reprimand the speaker, or if that is not possible, one should remove oneself from that situation. See, if you sit there and don't give any interjection into the Lashon Hara, you're just as guilty. You're guilty in God's eyes of committing that. If you just sit there and listen to it, you don't pass it on to anyone else. But if you sit there and listen to it, you're actually getting infected with things that you can't unhear. You actually begin to think differently about the person that you're talking about. And let me warn you, if you are a gossip, and most gossips don't think that they're gossips, but if you are a gossip, and you have another friend who loves to listen to you gossip and you share your anecdotes together, I guarantee you, they're gossiping about you to other people as well. Guaranteed. You may think you have this special little club where only you guys are involved. No. They'll turn on you too. Because they get something out of it. Gossips are equal opportunity offenders. Simple as that. Number four. Even if one has already heard the Lashon Hara, it is forbidden to believe it. Basically, this is saying don't take third-hand information and believe it. On the contrary, one should always judge one's fellow favorably. We're to think positively about one another, not negatively. And when we commit Lashon Hara, it is negative, even though it may be true. See, what it does is it's divisive. And we're going to take a look at that in a little bit. Number five, it is forbidden to even make a motion that is derogatory towards someone. Stay off the roads. Because that's where I see the majority of derogatory motions. And they're not coming from me. I know that's what you're thinking. But we're not even supposed to make a derogatory motion. You realize that's rolling your eyes? Seriously. That is a derogatory motion. Is it not? And I know you teenagers don't do that at all. They're down here laughing. But it is part of bad talk. Number six, one may not even retell a negative event without using names. We love to do that. Well, I've got this thing I got to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you who it's about. And then they proceed to tell you. And you sit there and you go, I know who you're talking about. And then what do? You go, you're talking about so-and-so, right? Well, one may not even retell a negative event without using names, even if the listeners might be able to figure out who is being spoken of. See, there's just something inside that eats at you. I have something, and it has to get out. I need to share this information. And if you're a good Christian, you preface it with, you need to pray for so-and-so. Because then whatever you say after that is fair game, is it not? Well, you need to pray for so-and-so. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, thank you for sharing that. I will be praying. Text, oh, you need to be praying for so-and-so. And it goes on and on and on. And it's considered bad talk. Number seven, in certain circumstances, such as to protect someone from harm, it is permissible or even obligatory to share negative information. If there is truly, and as a counselor, as a pastor, whenever I counsel someone who may be in a very difficult situation, the first thing I let them know before we even go down that road is, if I hear that you are going to harm yourself or harm someone else or something has happened to you as far as abuse or something like that, I have to report that to the authorities. Because there's other people involved as well. So there are certain times when you need to share negative information, but it is with the intent to fix that process or fix that which has happened. So that we are obliged to do such, to protect one another. And if you've ever done any counseling, you know what I'm talking about. But these are the things. As I did this study, I thought, you know what? It changed my perspective. So why is it such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal that this guy wrote an entire book on desiring life? And the first thing you need to do is watch your tongue. Well, it goes back to the last verse in Proverbs 6:19. It says, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. A talebearer, a gossip, a slanderer, whatever you want to call it, ultimately divides. God says, I hate a person. I hate these people, those with haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Why? Because it's divisive. And when you are sharing information about other people and are guilty of lashon hara, Jesus said it best. You are just like your father, the father of all lies. He rebuked the Pharisees because of their words. The lies that they were spreading. The love that they did not have for one another. And he says, I hate a person who divides or causes conflict in a community. You know why a lot of people who are unbelievers don't want anything to do with church? Because there's division alive and well in the church. There are plenty of people who will sit and judge you, not removing the plank in their own eye and pointing out the speck in yours. See, as Christians, we are to be different. We are called to be different. This should be a place that people can come and feel safe and not be talked about. Because there's plenty of talking going on in the world. Lashon hara should not have a place in the body of Christ. We as Christians should engage that filter and think before we talk. Lord, is this going to help? Is this going to edify? Is this going to help take care of the situation? Or is this going to cause conflict in the community? And if it is, keep your mouth shut. My girls say, shut your pie hole. But it's true. You see, if we would engage in this, trying not to do these things more, this is like the revolution that Pastor Henry taught about at the beginning of the year. What a revolution where there's actually kindness in the body of Christ. You know, it says they'll know your love by your love for one another. The outside will know that you truly love one another because of the way that you treat one another. What do your posts look like on Facebook? Or your Twitter accounts, or your Tweeter accounts, or whatever accounts there's out there, your snappy chatties, and but whatever you post, whatever you request, you know, I know that there's a lot of that that goes on with the youth and younger people, the millennials, and that's just where they are. I'm old. I don't get it. I don't, if I want to talk to you, I will text you, but I'm not going to Snapchat you because I don't know what that is. I'm not going to tweet something. Oh, you following my tweets? It just sounds so self-centeredly arrogant. Oh, I have 5,000 likes on my Facebook page. I really don't care. I don't have a Facebook page. If I wanted to see how many likes you have, I would probably get on, but I don't. But this is a generation where social media is everything. Yeah, I can't wait till the millennials get old. Because their thumbs are going to be like this. And their necks are going to be like this. You want to know a millennial? They're like this. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. What I'm trying to say is, let's engage a filter. See, the thing is young people, I hate the word blog. Hate it. Because blog just means I'm pouring my thoughts onto a piece of paper and I really want you to read it. If I want to know what you have to say, I'll talk to you. But I found that it got kind of an arrogant, oh, I'm a blogger. I'm a professional blogger. What really does that mean? Isn't that kind of what an author is? No, there's a difference. I'm a professional blogger. But then they sit there and they just post whatever they want, say whatever they want, because they're not sitting in front of you. Am I right? There are things that they will write down and post and send out or whatever they call it, and they would not have the nerve to say it to your face. That's what irritates me. But as young people, the things that you text or Snapchat or Twitter or whatever, and you send, think before you send. Because you say, well, my parents are not going to see this. You know who does? God. God sees it. And if it's causing conflict or stirring up division in the community, in the body of Christ, it's actually one of the things that he hates. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. This really got me thinking. I hope it's done the same to you. Because there are certain things that I've shared about other people, and I just get a big laugh because it's funny. It's funny. But if it can any way be detrimental and harm the other person, then it's Lashon Hara, even if it's true. So we need to watch our tongues. We need to watch our emails. We need to watch what we post. We need to watch what we're watching. We are not to be conformed to the world. We are to look different. It says we're aliens in this world. Because this ain't my home. I'm just here temporarily. And I'm as alien as they come. But you know what? You know what God's called me to do? Love him and love other people. When we are guilty of Lashon Hara, we are not loving him and we're not loving other people. Simple as that. So I would say, let's install a filter. Let's install a filter that steps back and says, what is my intent? What are my motives for wanting to share this? And if you're a true gossiper, that is going to drive you crazy. Because a true gossiper gets that information, and it's like there's something inside that just it has to come out. As a pastor and as a counselor, you learn to take information and you keep it. There are certain things that people have shared with me in counseling sessions that my wife knows nothing about because I don't share that information with her. And it has come back later on where if it was a woman or whatever, they would share that information with Belinda and look at her like, Jim didn't share that with you? No, I didn't. Because there's no reason for her to know that information. And if I were to divulge that information, it would possibly damage Belinda's interpretation or her account of who you are. See, we live in a society that One little bit of information gets out can ruin a person's life. If I were ever accused of sexually molesting a girl here at New Hope Christian Center, you can bet that my name and my face are going to be on the evening news, and they'll use the little word alleged. You know what? People don't believe alleged. They believe, oh, another pastor. They're all alike. And that little bit of information could ruin me. See, we have the power to destroy with our tongues. Do we not? We have the power to ruin people's reputation with our tongues. But we also have the power to induce healing with our tongues. We have the power to exhort with our tongues. We have the power to lift up and encourage with our tongues. I choose to do that. And you know what? Maybe we start a revolution right here at New Hope Christian Center, where each one of you prays, Lord, help me to install that filter. Help me to change the things that come out of my mouth. Help me to step back. I'm just as guilty as you guys are. But hearing this and studying this, I'm going to allow it to change my behavior. I may not be as funny. But you know what? I don't want to be one of those people that God hates. That behavior of causing conflict in a community. I want to be a conduit to health. Amen? Amen? I want to be a conduit being used by God to be a blessing and not a curse. There's plenty of curses in this world. I say, let's start erring on the side of blessing. And it starts right here with your tongue and your mouth. Amen? Amen. Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would take these principles and apply them to our lives. Lord, that we would be different. That we would behave differently. That we would speak differently than the world around us. Help us, Lord, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So that our faith is not in vain. Lord, we just thank you for this day. And I ask a blessing upon every Bible-believing church meeting this day. We ask this in your name. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great week.